Three friends.
Three cities.
One question.
How can we turn this world around?
You're on with Earth Friends.
Hey guys.
Hi. Hi everyone.
Hi.
I am genuinely so excited and amazed by this person, and we are on to our next episode entitled Rediscovering Roots in the Sundrop Gardens Living Library. Guys, let's give it up to the Sundrop Garden. What's up?
Hey guys, I'm so happy to be talking to you guys finally.
I know it's been a couple of weeks, I want to say, in the making, and I think we're still pinching ourselves that you're here with us today. But to introduce you to our audience, here's a little bit of a backdrop of June's story. So June is an American-born, full-blooded Filipina, formerly known as singer-songwriter June Marisi, and now the artist creating under the unpronounceable symbol. She spent the last 10 years performing in front of thousands of people all over the world, but contrastingly prefers long periods of solitude up high in her solar-powered Bahay Tree Cubo. With an urgent call for a more natural world, she created the first sustainably driven music label called The Sundrop Garden, which focuses on inspiring creativity with an authentic, sustainable lifestyle. TSG uses art to encourage and explore restoration of all things geographically endemic. These projects emphasize on basic needs like food, plants, clothes, shelter, medicine, crafts, and indigenous technology.
So something she's even more passionate about is secretly inspiring fellow Filipinos through Philippine heritage, which led her to curate something more grassroots under the livinglibrary.ph. It is a solutions hub for extreme tangible change towards sustainability as an island on its own. As of 2020, the Zero Waste platform has been expanding through its concept of an ethnic eco sari-sari store, providing 100% natural zero waste alternatives, a Philippine medicinal tea and tableya bar, and an heirloom seed library for the island of Palawan. June beautifully translates her love for nature in her music, reverberating a diverse and unique sound of the natural earth in her tracks. Her recent album brings listeners to introspect and marvel at the world around with the gifts nature so freely shares with us. With that, we would like to introduce this episode with our first ever sound bath to start us off in a state of pure gratitude, made by none other than June.
Everyone, if they could close their eyes for the next 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Just close your eyes and take a couple of breaths in and breaths out, and just make sure you just block all thoughts out of your head and just take in the sound.
Thank you.
Wow, that was honestly, I really needed that to start my day.
So great way to end my night.
I know, I really needed that.
So we usually start our podcast off by asking Junie, so what impacted you this week?
Today is Tuesday. Mm-hmm. What impacted me this week was being alone for the first time in a long time for about, 3 weeks, and kind of my husband just came back from Europe 2 days ago, so I actually enjoyed, I thought I was gonna not do so well being alone with the baby, but mm-hmm. I actually enjoyed it so much, and I enjoyed music again. It's been a long time, and like listening to other people's music, because mm-hmm. I couldn't do that for a while. And yeah, I would just kind of dance with my baby at home, and yeah, I felt like myself again. It's been a long time going through pregnancy and then motherhood for the first time, and I kind of just like kind of miss being myself. Like I was impacted by just feeling like myself again, and just hearing my thoughts mm-hmm. clearly.
I'm so happy to hear that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really common for first-time mothers or those that are just starting out the journey of being a parent to forget who you are besides a mom or a dad. Mm-hmm. So it's so important to collect and recollect yourself back from that so that you can move towards being a more sustainable, like, human being and a mom at the same time, which is honestly superhuman to do. And props to you, Junie. You've been doing that and managing so many things and having so many things under your wing.
Yeah, I finally shot a music. I think I haven't released anything since I gave birth last August. Mm-hmm. So I haven't been doing my moon drops. I'm supposed to drop something every full moon, but like now. And and we just shot a music video, I think last week. And I was supposed to climb a tree, and I was like, I didn't know if I could climb a tree, and I used to climb trees all the time. Mm-hmm. And then but then I did it, and I was so proud of myself. It just kind of started coming back. It started coming back just instantly, but I got my body back. finally. Yeah, that's the 6 months journey of just like, yeah, even being physically like my old body back mm-hmm. as well, as everything changed. But I'm happy. I'm really content and happy with the work being done.
Great. Oh, that sounds so amazing. Because I know like going through motherhood and pregnancy changes like a lot of aspects in your life. It changes not only your body and like physical health, but also your mental health. And it's like just hearing you saying like you were able to climb that tree again, you feel like your normal self again. It just sits well with me. It just makes me so happy. Because like I feel like it's so important for us to go back to our roots. Like as our episode's called, Roots in the Sun Drop Gardens Living Library. And like, just as what you said, you going back to your roots and who you are just warms my heart.
Perfect timing for the episode, I believe. Mm-hmm. So your transition from being a musician towards this greater purpose that you developed with the Sun Drop Garden is such a unique concept, especially in the entertainment industry. So how did your like purpose translate or change the way you did music from then and now?
Okay, so I've been on a long journey, guys. I think I've been on this journey for like 15 years mm-hmm. of trying to incorporate sustainability into my art. Mm-hmm. And I think I've been trying to speak about these topics in my expression naturally. Like the more I would learn about sustainability or anything, actually learn about anything, it naturally comes out in art. Mm. What I was more passionate about, actually, it turns out, is the truth. And
mm-hmm. yeah,
that's what I was kind of looking for. And as I was looking for that truth, I actually wanted to just live in my sustainable kind of sustainable treehouse, mm-hmm. solar power treehouse, right? And just create with the moon and the sun and whatever energy I was able to generate, whether it was a cloudy day, then I wasn't lucky with the opportunity to create because I didn't get any energy inside of the solar panel to create with. So when I was able to capture that much energy with the solar panel to create music, I saw it as something to be grateful for. And creating this way without any expectations of anyone, anything, I was able to kind of neutralize my senses and be able to express the truest form of expression, create and see my spirit in its most clearest self, almost clearest reflection. I didn't care. I wanted to actually, my dream was to become the keeper of the land. And I really didn't care about the whole music industry. And I was just trying to be as pure as possible. And in the end, I saw these enchanted places that I was creating in started to get trashed with when people started to find out about them. And that's what kind of made me realize I can't hide from it. I'm a part of it. And you can't run away from the problem. So that's what kind of made me come out of my cave and do something about it. In a way, helping other people is also helping myself. And I think that's it's the same for everyone else. Mm-hmm. And tired of hearing people talk about things like change and complaining and like depending on other people to make a change when like we can make a change, like anyone can make a change. I mean,
yes,
to not depend on other people, just do it, you know? Like, I mean, this is what I'm telling myself. I mean, this is what I tell myself, like, why should we wait for anyone? I just knew I couldn't wait for anyone because I didn't see anyone doing something about it. And so even like just moving out into the province and things like that, like everyone wanted to leave. Everyone that I knew just wanted to leave the Philippines. And and so I kind of wanted to use the ability to do music and do it well. I know that I could do well in terms of music industry and stuff, but I did try that. I went to all the like major record labels. Someone brought me to all the major record labels in like California, and I spoke to like the president. So
how was that experience then?
It was disgusting because they were looking at me like I'm an object, and I was just like, wait a second, like people work their whole life just to like do this. And I know that I'm lucky enough to come from America to know that people would die to know that what we have in the Philippines is actually like this, and it's almost like for free. And that's what I kind of just started to put in my music is I know it can spread like around the world. It's like relatable, or I don't know.
Yeah.
It's on the world platform, but my real passion is for the truth and for Filipino people, because I feel like that's the most like precious thing for me personally.
You know, that's so profound what you said about about this advocacy being selfless and selfish at the same time, because we are part of the problem, but we also need to start something because anyone can make a difference. So I found that really profound, and your story sounds like a truly out of body experience for you to be able to come to terms with who you are and still find the means to get closer and closer to the truth in your own way. So that was really so beautiful. And in relation to, you know, your connection to nature, like how did this intersect with rediscovering your roots as a Filipino after being born and raised in the US?
I think it was the first Malisimbo Festival I had attended in 2011. I was actually proud of being American, and I think I was very, like, you know, like, kind of loud and outgoing, super extroverted, very in contrast to, like, what I ended up being, like, isolated for some years, and kind of just hiding from the music industry. When I did come fresh from America, I was 2011, and I had to interview a band called Kadangyan. It's an Ifugao band, and he told me that nothing is more beautiful than one's own origins. And I thought about it. For some reason, it struck me so hard, and I don't even know why. And I think that's what's so beautiful about intuition, now that I've come this far. Like, intuition is one of the most powerful tools we could have, if you can tap into it. And you just know something when your body is kind of like vibrating, you know, like,
yeah.
You just feel it, you know, but you really do know. And I think that's a tool that it's a shame that people don't tap into, because it's one of the most powerful, I think.
Right.
If not the most powerful. I think the problem with humanity at the moment is that we rely too much on information and the mind, and we don't exercise this ability to connect to everything, like, almost telepathically.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I can super relate to you. Like, mm-hmm. Before I went to study abroad, I was always looking out to other countries, other nations, and thinking, how come they're better than us? I'd love to be American. I'd love to be European. Yeah. And ironically, when I finally, like, dipped my toes in another country, I realized that these countries are doing well because they look within their own country and they have mm-hmm. a sense of national pride. And it brought me back to my roots too. I figured out my love for country goes deeper than me, and it goes beyond generations. Yeah. Like, our families and ancestors that have fought for our independence. And you're right, like, no amount of history books and lessons can teach these things to you. It's intuition. Like, it'll be like a snap of a finger, and you'll just get it without, like, mm-hmm. any reason. Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was wondering, like, why does everyone want to be American? I was almost like, it almost made me feel uncomfortable, because I am more, like, unfortunately, I don't really like it, but I am very American, and mm-hmm. Everyone was so impressed with just the fact that I came from America. And I was just like, what the hell is going on? Like, why do these Asian, like, Southeast Asian people want to be American? And why is everyone singing Usher? Why is everyone singing Usher on TV? Like, I found that so weird when I arrived. And I just wanted to change that. I wanted Filipinos to see how beautiful this place is. And this has been a mission since I came here in 20. Actually, I first arrived here in 2007.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Mm. Yeah. So, yeah. And then I just went off grid, because I just felt like ever since I had released my first music in 2011, I mm-hmm. felt like people are so influenced by art. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to know the truth first before I affect other people. If this is a power that can influence people and the youth, mm-hmm. I want to make sure that I'm standing up for the right thing and not just doing random stupid things and just growing that kind of world. You know, I felt like it's going to be really impactful what I have to say. So I mean, I just, like, that's why, like, kind of went off grid and just kind of disappeared from everyone.
No. Yeah, honestly, I can't believe it. I don't know how you were able to achieve that, honestly, because when you said that you were able to, like, neutralize your senses and become, like, a portal of vessel of energy for, like, for all the energy that the world's giving us to go through you, and, like, you being able to translate that to the people that you do meet or you do encounter with, is so inspiring. So this honestly reminds me of your Living Library. So the Living Library started out as a safe space for Filipinos to discover locally available whole foods from a zero-waste sari-sari store. So for our listeners in the U.S., a sari-sari store is like a small neighborhood retail shop that caters to the members of our community. It is interesting to connect a library with a marketplace. So people can share and learn more about like traditional Filipino culture and livelihood.
We just wanted to understand more of the intersection between, you know, how starting the concept of a living library and having the space for everyone to discover both their culture, but also a different pathway to approaching sustainability in a setting that typically doesn't encourage that, right? Like in a sari-sari store, most things are single use. Most things are big contributors to waste. So we were just wondering how you discovered your roots through the interest. I think it was in heirloom seeds and ethical harvesting, and how that translated to the creation of the Living Library.
Right. So yeah, like I said, it's been a long journey. So the artist's name with the parentheses and the symbol, it's just all the things like going back to the source. So the more you go back to the source, you can kind of like understand like how fucked up the world is today. And so basically that stems off into all different directions, and that's why mm-hmm. the Sundrop Garden is about like basic needs and like approaching mm-hmm. using art to like involve people in all things that are necessary. Not exactly like not always like the for and like not entertainment, which is I feel like not necessary, but entertainment is a way to like kind of lure people in, and I think art mm-hmm. is a perfect way to open people up without it being invasive, open people up to like a new idea or new worlds that could possibly exist or that do exist, just not yet. With the heirloom seeds, I was, you know, here in Palawan, I have Babaylan mentors. And so she showed me something that's like a truffle that comes from the forest here. And it's not a truffle, but it smells exactly like a truffle. The most expensive thing in the world, oh, wow. the food in the world by the mm-hmm. by the square inch, whatever. Like it's, we have that in our own form, and it's not even Googleable. It's not anywhere researchable. And I guess those are one of the like pinpoints of me questioning like what the fuck is here. I mean, there's so I'm sorry, I'm cursing, that's just what
no
I do.
No, it's how you're feeling.
this place is, I mean, something brought me here. Every time I go off with a feeling that there's something about something and I go into it, that's what I mean about like the intuition. Mm-hmm. I'm not so much about facts, I'm mostly a feeling, and every time it leads me into a direction that it comes before the facts even reach. So, before the facts even prove that it's the right direction. Mm-hmm. So, there are medicinal plants. I think the Philippines is full of medicinal plants. Yeah. It's kind of insane how much we rely on like the big whatever to provide answers for us when we are actually have it already, and we have that power already, and it would be nice to like let people know that. But creating the library was a accumulation of like this research paper in my mind. Why do I keep coming across like coming from America, I want to know what's more Filipino. What's Filipino? Yeah. And mm-hmm. I think it came from a frustration of I kept on finding things that weren't Filipino. Like I kept finding things that were so Filipino, but in the end, like the origins of it, it's not even actually, it's an influence of mm-hmm. something else. And I think that's where a lot of these things that I've manifested is a accumulation of that frustration of not understanding, like why don't we know what we are, and And then when I look deeper into it, there's a lot of dark history. So that's how I just kind of realized I wanted to know for myself. And so I think it's happening naturally that I share it with other people through something that kind of lifts up, that's kind of through something more Filipino, just because I personally wanted to exist. And so just manifesting things that I want to see. So that's what I mean, like doing it and not waiting for someone else to do it, finally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You honestly bring up such a great point, like how you just honestly followed what you were just feeling inside, like not even thinking about things. You just went and go for it. I feel like with us now, like we think about a lot of things, a lot of information. We have like a checklist before we make a decision. And from your end, it feels like, and I feel like for you, you just went and you just followed and you went for it. And look where you are now with this living library, being able to like educate other people about it. Like I was even shocked to even hear about that plant that like smells like truffles, right?
The truffle, that's cool. I never heard of that.
Yeah, we don't even know. No, the problem is the fine line is like how much of this information can we share with people? Because if they are sacred plants, roots, and all that, like, is it really the right thing? Or should we keep it with the medicine men? And like, should it remain a sacred art? But what will happen to that art after in the next 5 years that these people won't exist anymore? And then who's gonna know the value anymore of these things? And why would we protect the forest anymore if no one even knows that these things are in it, you know? But those are the fine lines, because like if I were to sell or even like promote these things, I could I could be attacked by other people for whatever their intentions are to to that I'm exposing indigenous culture, you know. Or I personally don't want to sell things that are considered sacred, so but also like do we just let this die out? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I feel like that's a huge battle.
It's a political
battle. Yeah.
It's something that definitely needs to be addressed. Like, what's the right way, like ethically? And when I say ethically, like ethical harvesting, I don't know what people mean by ethical. Like, I started hearing people talk about ethical harvesting. I don't know if they use the same term, but these are just things that that come up in my own head. And what I mean by it is like ethical meaning, like how do indigenous people harvest it? What's like, what did our ancestors do? Like, that's what I mean by ethical, like asking first, or the mythical ways that we would use to harvest things, like honey or anything. Anything, actually. Like, actually the tribes, they have to do a ritual before they pick the plants, or sometimes they don't see the plants anywhere unless they do the medicinal plants, unless they do a ritual, and then the medicinal plants will show themselves. That's actually a story of one of my mentors. Like, they were looking for it, and then the father of the tribe was just like, oh, I forgot we didn't do a ritual. They were looking for 3 days, and then they did a ritual for the Diwatas, and then they found found it everywhere. That's so funny. And but also I've heard in a story, I don't even remember where anymore, but there was one woman who said that the medicinal plants are we have to go so far away to get the medicinal plants now, because people are building houses, so even to that finest, the most detailed, like, you know, that one little action which we think is just the most basic need, you know, build a house, even that is already like
impacting like other lives.
And I feel
ruining their environment.
You know, it's interesting because you're our first guest that we had on this podcast that really focused on talking about ancestral roots and just ancestral heritage and traditional methods of restoration. We've been interviewing scientists and really delving into the objective world when we haven't dipped our toes or actually spoken about how our spirituality can actually be impactful to the environment in a good way. Mm-hmm. And your story is just, it's so motivational, and it's very unconventional at the same time, where people normally wouldn't directly relate spirituality and finding out your and figuring out your connection to the world outside of our own, to actually saving the environment. And if you could give any advice, like a small tip for our listeners on how we can reach a deeper level of spirituality, if not just for the environment, but just for self-development.
Yeah, within ourselves, honestly.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, what would be like the best like foot in the door for people to get into the space that you're in?
Well, I remember when I was a broadcast artist, I was stuck in the US. The US and had a little bit of a glimpse of like what's here in the Philippines. I had a little bit of like, I actually went a bit crazy when I went back to the US because my parents tricked me. If I come home for Christmas and I can do anything I want, like after that, like after I come home for Christmas. And then I didn't know that when I got there and I was done with Christmas, they said like, I'm like, okay, I want to go back to the Philippines now. And they said, with what money? Uh-huh. I was like, what? So I was stuck there for 2 years. I just shut myself. This was before actually getting to be in like a Kubo, solar powered Kubo. But that was what I was dreaming of when I was just in this concrete jungle. And what made me kind of go crazy was like I got to experience the kind of rawness that we have here and then like the opportunity that we have to make this place something. It's still untouched and we can still do something amazing with it and put it on the right path. And but what I was kind of going crazy in the US was like everything was man-made. And I couldn't really get my, I couldn't wrap my head around it. Like, how is everything possibly man-made around me? Like, how is everything possibly man-made? And I think if you're in the city, it's almost like, how do you save a world that you're not even surrounded by that?
Yeah.
Like, how do you save that you don't even, can't even see or touch, you know?
Yeah.
How do you, so I had to keep reminding myself that it exists, that, that it's there and I'm not crazy. And everyone's going about their lives like as if this is normal. Like we're all just like walking on concrete and eating things that aren't even real food, you know, or like don't even have a, and I had to like remind myself I'm not crazy. And but if you're in the city and you want to like connect with or anyone, how to, is it transition into a more not, alternative life at home? Like what do you mean? Like how do you transition into a more natural life?
I guess a more mindful, like
mindfulness. And I think like what Nikki was saying earlier, which I totally agree with, was just like wherever you are, right? Especially but most especially people who live out of touch with nature, there's it's harder to tap into spirituality or like getting away from being so having your mind stimulated 24/7. Like I'm definitely a victim of that. Hearing your experience with, you know, your mindfulness and your spirituality and like connecting back by connecting back with nature is something that we're definitely fascinated to learn from.
So if you're in the, if you are in the city and you haven't experienced this, my advice would be to get out of the city and experience it. If after you get out of the city and you do go into nature, you need to get off your phone. Not be on your phone. What I've experienced is a max 3 days. You can do some shrooms. And that actually kind of connects you to it, kind of reminds you of what you're made out of, you know. You're actually energetically, if you look at through the human evolution of where we have come from. Like, we are really made out of earth, and
yeah,
this is what our ancestors were talking about as well, is like the earth and the diwatas are elements, right? It's air, yeah. What we breathe, fire, our heat. We lose heat sometimes, we gain heat as well. We eat earth, and we also shed our skin and mm-hmm. air. Did I say air already? We breathe in, air. Breathe out. Did I miss something?
No, you're an element at all.
No, there's water. There's wind, water. Of water. Course, we're made of wind is air. Water. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. And it's all borrowed. It's all borrowed. It's
true.
It's not ours. And
it's not.
I will take you up on your advice to do what you just said. But I admit it's really humbling. It's really humbling to get in touch with nature, because you see how small you are in the speck of this whole universe. And
right. But if you are in the city, I think it would be good to like just look at where things come from, source your own things from scratch. I think that's a good way to like stay sane as well, is just knowing where your ingredients come from. And that's if you true. Cannot find good ingredients, it means that there's something wrong with where you live, and that you should start advocating for, like, you should be asking, you should also be frustrated and getting frustrated, why don't we have good ingredients, you know? Because if you don't have access to good ingredients, there's something going on, like there's something going on where you are that maybe you could start a conversation about within your own community.
That's so true and
I think the frustration of asking why is a good place to start, and then also but not complaining, not stopping there and like blaming other people, but looking at yourself and what you have, if you're what you have that you can potentially like make the most, maximize its potential out of what little you have, and to make a change for yourself and for everyone else around you.
I completely agree. And it's a good thing that you brought up the idea of asking why and where things come from. That's super important. And I'm sure that that's also one of the driving forces for you with all of the things that you put into the Living Library. And I mean, it's impressive that you've started a zero waste sari-sari store, and amidst, you know, being the third largest polluter of plastics in the world. I mean, starting up a zero waste sari-sari store is pioneering and very forward thinking at this point in time when plastics are just dominating the world. So with that, you know, what are some setbacks that you experienced when you were setting up your sari-sari store that would make it harder for you to imagine this concept growing into more than what is, like, I mean, into growing in general?
Yeah, just the setbacks though is like, how do you get a sari-sari that is the same as all the other sari-saris, except it cherishes what's local and what's
natural,
natural and endemic, even endemic, which endemic is the most like difficult part, because no one asks those kind of questions, and so there's no guidebook to this. It's just I'm not a freaking researcher. I'm not I'm an artist, and I'm like, and this is all new to me. So I feel like doing this is kind of like, it's really satisfying, because it feels like it's like a step. It's like almost like reaching the moon. But it's really in our backyards. And so the setbacks is that there's no guidelines, and there's no like, I mean, in this specific approach of trying to make a zero waste sari-sari. Setbacks also is if we were to, plastics are inevitable. The way that people transport things is in plastic, no matter how many times you ask for like not plastic or something else, some alternative way that we can do it. People don't want to take the time to do it. People got other things to do. They're set in their ways. No one wants to like, take that extra step. So what we actually do, we just turn the plastics into like things to sit on, like cushions. That's what we do. Nothing really gets wasted. So but that's just a temporary fix. What's the long term? What's a long term fix? And the setbacks are like not everything that we want in a study is going to be from this island, which is already extreme thinking, but I think thinking extreme is good. The setbacks are like fake it till you make it almost. Like, it's not going to be almost all from this island, but yeah. And it's not always going to come in a sustainable packaging. And we're going to put it in these jars, even though it was like in like a big plastic bag at some point, like, you know, but it's an art form in itself. It's a display of, I mean, I'm not saying all of them come like that. I'm saying like something, it's not perfect. Yeah. But it's a starting point. And because also like we want to make it affordable for everyone. We're matching the prices of all the other sari-sari stores.
That's straight up aggressive.
Those are the setbacks. It is an art form, because like when people come to the sari-sari, it should be displayed only Filipino things, so people will get the understanding like right away, oh, this person or this this store appreciates things that are from here. Maybe I need to like hook them up with this person, or like spread the word that this is this place appreciates these things and not just imported stuff. It's also conceptualizing an idea and making it as pure as possible, like just like how I was trying to do with music. I'm trying to approach it in a business setting, but what I would hope to grow it as is like to see more of these refill stations in all the sari-saris around Palawan, and like having a transportation system as well where like the refills can happen.
So when you were doing your living library, so now we talk about the setbacks, I'm just curious, what was like one thing that really surprised you, that really just brought like warmed your heart, something about the living library that you've learned that has really like, what was not a setback for the living library, I would say?
What was an achievement? What was an achievement you didn't expect?
Something that came from the times of being in isolation, just making music, even if people didn't know that I was somewhere in the middle of nowhere making music and not sharing it with people. I felt like if I were changing, I felt like everyone else was going to change, whether they knew what I was doing or not. I felt like that was happening. And with the living library, I feel like introducing kind of like almost like engineering an idea and introducing it on the community level and also on platforms as well. Something heartwarming is that like once you introduce this idea, whether it works or not, the fact that it's there and it stands for something, I see it kind of like change the way that the community around me looks at things as well. And so we kind of just like bounce back at each other and just like kind of level up in our game and then support each other, whether it's in competition, whether it's a competition or like friends, you know, everyone is stepping up. And whether my idea is ready or not, or if it's like someone else takes the idea and like spreads it like faster than me because they're better at business or something, like the point is that once you change yourself and act towards it, I feel like it really changes everyone else and almost instantly. And I think that's the thing that keeps me sane with living on this island and being able to make a difference, and whether it's perfect or not, like the connection is so strong. Like I can even hear like the melodies on a beach, and then I'll leave the beach and I'll forget the melodies, and when I come back I'll hear the melodies again. Like this place is so alive, and I tried to capture that in my art as well, but like when I start to see it get destroyed, it's just like shit. Yeah. I need to do something, and doing something about it, and then seeing the change happen on a large scale is very That's what's really the most endearing for me, is that there's actually a difference happening. There's something, actually a change happening in the way that people look at things and approach what they do.
The ripple effect is real. Like, people are changing their mindsets because of the way you're doing things. And that's truly inspiring.
On that note, we'd love to hear your thoughts on how we can turn this world around.
To turn this world around, meaning making it a more nourishing place for the future generations instead of the way it's going now.
But well, way better, way better said than our simplified question. But yes, definitely.
That I hope whatever Palawan ends up doing, I hope it's like a good example for the Philippines as a whole, you know, that it can be sustainable as an island. And also how we can turn this world around, I think, would be come over here and just put your hands in the ground and just get in there, you know, just do it. I think that's my answer, is just do it. Put your hands in the ground and really feel like how I think we need to feel more as well, for one thing, like and less thinking about things, but feeling things and then doing it. It's the same energy as like when you like what causes us to be born. What says to be born? I think it's that energy that comes before the thought, you know.
Yeah.
If you can feel things and then just do it, and not without the mind getting in the way, I think we're gonna end up in the right place. And not a lot of people can do that. Yeah. I think Filipinos can do it very well, though. That's why many of us become healers. Many of us are like nurses around the world, right? I really, really think this, and I hope we can acknowledge that. And yeah, you guys are invited to come to Palawan, and there are a lot of people doing amazing things here, and we could also use some help in what we're doing. I do want to expand the library as like a research hub as well, and more grassroots, more on the ground, and really ask people like, how are you? How are you doing it?
That's so important, you know, like mindful and conscious trips. Like you're the place that you're going to is not just a weekend getaway. Like the place that you're going to is actually like a place where people live. It's someone's home, and it's been there for more than just the trip that you're going to. So touch the ground and kiss the earth and get to know everything around it and the people there. That's it. I will make my way out down to Palawan, though. But even before that, if you have any ideas that you'd want to collaborate with, like, we have a lot of orgs connected to us. We have For the Future, we have Extinction Rebellion. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of avenues for us to, you know, make changes. So, well, we won't leave you too long, but thank you again so much for this. I really can't wait to meet you in person. You're doing great things. Like, don't let anything tell you otherwise. You're doing great things, and I'm just going to keep looking at you.
Honestly, same here.
Yeah, and looking forward to hopefully being able to work with you and help you more with your projects. I think we can.
Oh man, yeah, definitely. You girls are so wonderful. I would love any help or any insight as well, like about how to improve things.
But yeah, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We got Junie here and telling us all about rediscovering the roots in the Sundrop Garden in no place else than the best place on earth, the Philippines. Okay, guys, that wraps up our episode. We're Earth Friends, and the Earth is our friend.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.